So, well, Thanksgiving Day is over, right? So, and by now most of us have probably used up all the leftovers, or we wish we had used them up by now, right? But I hope that on Thursday you remembered to do more than just have a wonderful meal and watch football and make a mad dash to the shopping centers on Black Friday. I used to try to do that, and I thought, man, I just don't want to get out there in that wild and crazy crowd anymore. It's not worth the effort. But hopefully you use this day as a day to really set aside some time from your busy schedule to give thanks to God. And the Thanksgiving holiday really is a wonderful opportunity to transform our lives from lives of maybe dissatisfaction, lives of kind of focusing on the negative that's going on in our own lives and in the world and wherever. And instead, let it be a time of joy and let it be a time of gratitude. And it really is a good holiday for us to turn that corner and be grateful people. We have a lot to be grateful for, amen? We have a lot to really be grateful for. And as good as that is, we need to remember that the Word of God tells us that the attitude of thanksgiving should be a continual one, not just one that we focus on one time during the year and say, well, yeah, we remind ourselves to do that. I remember several years ago, that our former pastor, the late Dr. Dan Beller, I was his associate pastor for about 18 years, and I remember one November, he challenged us as we were moving into the month of November to not just think about Thanksgiving Day that comes in November, but to make a special effort during that whole month of November to focus on our gratefulness, our worship, and our thanks for all that God has done for us. And I thought that was really a really pretty good idea because, you know, they say, whoever they is, they say that if you do a thing for 21 days, make a habit of doing it for 21 days, then it'll really stick with you. So I remember that during that time, I made some effort to, yeah, let me focus on being thankful and grateful and not just being, you know, hit in the face with all the stuff that's going on in the world or whatever, but every day to be thankful. And so, yeah, so here we are, the Sunday after Thanksgiving. And I want to ask you a question, and it's really not about the leftovers anymore. In one sense, maybe it is. How many of you still have some leftovers in the fridge or, yeah, on the counter somewhere? Yeah, some of you do. I'm thinking that probably Sherry and I will this afternoon or this evening sometime get out the rest of the leftovers. Somebody told me after the first service today, let's see if I can remember this, said, you know, I just can't get over eating those cold sandwiches of turkey. I just keep eating these cold sandwiches. I just can't stop cold turkey. But anyway, the leftovers, and we will get rid of the leftovers. And I know that some people, they say, make turkey soup or turkey salad. Pastor Tommy, actually, we were talking just a couple of days ago, and told me that he heard of people who make turkey gravy and biscuits, like sausage and gravy biscuits, except it's turkey, not the sausage. I'm not sure about that. But anyway, this morning, I want to ask you an important question. When it comes to God, do you give Him your best? Do you give Him your first fruits or leftovers? And that really is the title of the message for today, first fruits or leftovers? In Exodus 23, verse 19 says this, "The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God." Wow, Thanksgiving is based on that concept of being, yes, truly grateful for the blessings of God in our lives. And it's taking time to stop and say, it's kind of like saying, I couldn't do this without you, God. Because you really own it all. You really own everything. And we do need to stop and say sometimes, I recognize you. You are my source. You have blessed me abundantly, and I am thankful. So God doesn't just want your leftovers. He wants you. He wants me. He wants this full surrender to him. He wants the very best of you. And anything less, in some ways, it really could indicate a heart of ingratitude. Or, you know, just not being thankful, not recognizing all that he does for us. Or it could be a sense of pride, the self-made man syndrome, the one who kind of feels like, look at me, look what I did, look what I accomplished, and as if they did it themselves all without God's help. Or it could be a failure to understand the principle of stewardship. And I know that for the past few weeks, there's been a focus here in these services on stewardship, about recognizing that, you know, I'm just a steward of whatever God has placed in my hands, whatever he's placed in my circumstances, whatever talents and gifts he's given me. And just recognizing, yeah, I really don't own anything. He owns everything, but he is a good, good father who supplies our need, the Bible says, according to his riches and glory. Amen. He provides for us that good, good father provision if we just surrender our lives to him. And in turn, we should desire above everything else to be that good son and that good daughter, that servant of God who will properly steward, properly make use of the resources, the giftings, everything that he's placed within our hands and that he's given us to do. So, yeah, what he has given me. What he has given me. That, you know, there's a list that I saw recently that's about ways that we view money. You know, how do we do that as the resources that God has placed in our hands? And one way of looking at it is that money is a gift. And we know the parable of the talents in the Bible where, you know, the resources were placed, one talent in some hands, more than that in other hands and whatever. And they took it and they invested it, they used it however. And recognized that, yes, this is a gift that is given to you. And in some ways, money can almost become a God instead of God for some people. And it's like that for the rich young ruler, right? When, you know, God told him that he was asking him to, you know, sell everything he had and give everything away. And he couldn't handle that because money had become a God for him. And Jesus even gave the warning that you cannot serve God and mammon. And so it's possible to almost make a God out of money, a God out of what you've been blessed with instead of on the giver who is the one who gave it in the first place. Money could be a tool like a hammer or a screwdriver or whatever, something that we can use, we can make use of to build the kingdom of God. Or, on the other hand, some people use it to just build their own kingdom. They use the resources selfishly to build up their own kingdom. And then money could be like a thermometer, because there is this measure, this reflection of what's really going on in our lives. And yeah, where our treasure is, that is where our heart will be also. That's the word of God as well. And so all of those things. But when we have a proper understanding of money, that it is a gift from God, we're not going to struggle to obey God in the matter of tithing. Ooh, I said the T word. Tithing. Tithing. Which is really the beginning of giving. It's an important part of our discipleship. And tithe, the word just means a tenth. And it's returning to God 10% of his financial blessings in our lives, his gifts to us. And so some people really struggle with the concept of the tithe. Some suggest, well, that's only a requirement of the Old Testament law. They're supposed to do that in the law in the Old Testament. And as New Testament Christians, we really aren't required to tithe because we're not under the law. And there's a few problems with that. If you have that attitude, one is that tithing actually supersedes the law that was laid down in the Old Testament. It's both Abraham and Jacob, others tithed hundreds of years before the law was laid down to them. And then Jesus also said that he didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, right? I mean, he's not saying, okay, we're going to wipe out everything that was part of the law for the Old Testament. And there are some ways in which we are told that we're not under the curse of the law. But in the Sermon on the Mount, he didn't just wipe out the law that had been given in the Old Testament. In fact, he took it a little farther. He kind of raised the bar. He didn't lower it for those who were going to be a part of the kingdom of God. And for example, with the Ten Commandments, he didn't just say, "Thou shalt not kill," but he said, don't even be angry with your brother, with one another. And he didn't just say, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," and leave it at that. No, he said, "Don't even lust after others in your own heart and mind." You see, it's these things are heart matters. Not being angry and not having that anger in your heart. Not only not committing adultery as such physically, but not even lusting after another person. So, yeah, it's matters of the heart. So if anything, it's that way with the tithing. It's just the starting point of our generosity. And Jesus said, in fact, that we ought to tithe. Do you remember when he was some of the really religious, legalistic people? He was saying, hey, you tithe even down to tithing your spices. You know, what was it, mint and cumin and whatever else. And he said, here's what he said. He said, well, you don't need to leave that undone. In other words, go ahead and do that, but there are some other matters you need that are even weightier matters that you need to be considering also. But he was saying, yeah, you ought to tithe. So Jesus himself said, yeah, do that, but don't get so legalistically focused on it that you forget about a lot of the other important things. So anything less than that, anything less than that kind of surrender to his will and way with the resources that he's placed within our hands, really, it's kind of a failure to walk in the fullness of God's plan for our lives. Yes, and anything less than that, failure is a failure to understand that the tithe is not ours. It's God's. It belongs to him. I remember as a little boy, when I first started earning some money, and I am the youngest of 11 children in that family out in the country on the farm and whatever. And when I started earning a little bit of money, when I would go pick beans in the bean patch or pick strawberries in the strawberry patch, so I'd start saving my coins and finally get enough to have a dollar, and I would, you know, and so my dad said to me, he said, "Son, now listen, you know, you're starting to earn some money. That's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing." He said, "But I want to tell you something." He said, "With every dollar that you earn, if you'll just give a dime, if you'll, you know, when we go to church, put 10 cents in, 10 cents out of that dollar for every dollar that you earn." And I was scratching my head, and now what they call it now is new math, right? I thought, this might have been my introduction to new math. I don't know. I didn't know what was going on. Now, wait a minute. I'm trying to figure that out. I'm not sure how that really works. I've been counting my dimes. And I know if one's gone, I just got nine, and I'm not sure how that's really going to work out. But along the way, you know, I kind of step by step, I began to understand and know that, yeah, God really will do some wonderful things if we make that step of surrendering to His will and His way for our lives, surrendering to it in every way, not just in our financial resources. In Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, it says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord." And holy there, it means to be being set apart for the purposes of God. And so it's letting us know, even there, that yes, God takes tithing seriously. He tells us that it is His, it is holy, not like, ooh, that's holy, holy. In the sense that holiness means being set apart for God. And so that's one of the ways that we recognize the reality of that. And that really brings us to one of the key passages in the Bible about tithing. Malachi chapter 3, beginning with verse 6, says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return?" Like, what's the big deal? What are we not doing? And here's the answer from God. "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts." It's really the only place in the Bible that the Lord says, "Try me, just try me on this. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." And that's one part of it. And then it is, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts." Now, previous to that verse, God is speaking to Israel about the coming day of the Lord when they will again offer an offering in righteousness. But that's not what was happening right then. Instead, offerings in righteousness were not being done. They were robbing God. And so He calls for them to return to me, and I will return to you. And what He's looking for there is not just about the stuff. It's about the relationship. And that's what we really need to get. Because before God talks to them about money, about tithing, He talks to them about relationship. God, you know, and I've heard people say somewhere along the way, and this is when I was younger too, and said, "Well, God doesn't want your money." And I thought, wait a minute, yes, He does. But it really is true. It's not your money that He's after. It's your heart that He's after. He wants a relationship with you that is demonstrated out of a heart of thankful giving. And then, yeah, where it says, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." God knows that when He has your resources, when He has your money, your treasure, He will also have your heart. And then taking that even a little farther, and this is a thing I've heard other people say, and when I first heard it, I thought, God doesn't need your money. But He doesn't. You know, just think about it. I mean, He made everything, really. And everything belongs to Him. He paved the streets of heaven with gold. He built the gates in the walls out of pearls. Believe me, He doesn't need your money. Tithing is not about what God needs. It is about what you need. It's about what I need. And God wants to bless you and provide all that you need. And that's why He says, bring the tithe into the storehouse. And He said two things that He would do specifically. I'm going to open the windows of heaven. How many people would like to experience the opening of the windows of heaven over your lives? And then he said, I will also rebuke the devourer. You know, that we have an enemy, Satan, whose task, his own job description that he's given himself is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he's up to all the time. And God says, I want to rebuke the devourer for your sake. And so that means he'll give you more than you already have. That's opening up the windows of heaven and pouring it out. And then he will prevent Satan from stealing away from you what you already have. He does that. And that's why you can do more with 90% trusting in God's blessings and provision than you can with 100% trusting in your own ability. And I can tell you, I mean, I've heard even just recently some more people, and we hear it fairly often in Celebrate Recovery on Sunday nights about people who tapped into that reality of giving, tithing, even going above tithes and giving offerings, and realizing how God has turned things around in their lives. And some of you have heard Judy Tucker's testimony about when she thought, you know, I can't do that. I don't have 10% I can give. I got bills to pay and all that. But she said that she started out giving, what was it, 2%? What? And then she, just a little by little, as she saw God doing what he was doing that only he could do, she started doing a little more and a little more until she got it up to 10%. And she saw God turn. I should have had you just come and share that testimony. We're going to hear another testimony here in just a little bit. But again, over and over, we hear those testimonies of, you know, it doesn't work in our human understanding. How does that work? Like me as a kid saying, wait a minute, I know there's 10 dimes now and there, one gone. No, it is miraculous what God will do to open up the heavens and provide for us. And so really, here's the bottom line. When you hear preaching, whether it's from Pastor Tommy, from what I'm sharing, or anybody else is sharing, when you hear preaching on tithing, it's not to get something from you. It's teaching on tithing because we want to get something to you. We want to get something to you. Some of you have heard the saying that if God can get it through you, he will get it to you. Meaning, as you begin to use resources he placed within your hands, yes, for the needs of your family and the normal stuff that everybody needs to take care of, but begin to see that, yeah, I'm using some of these resources he's placed in my hands for kingdom purposes. And he says, I'm going to keep on pouring into that. I'm just going to keep on pouring into that. And so that's literally what he does. So he didn't set it up to get something from you, but to get something to you. And so, does anyone here believe that? I hear some amens, hallelujah. Is anyone experiencing some blessings that come from tithing? I see some hands that are identifying with that as well. And so, we have another testimony. This is from Harley Weidman, of when we're talking about praying. Pray for him as well. I heard that he was sick, but we have the video that he shares about the testimony for his family. Let's go there.
My wife, Chris, and I, when we got married, we started tithing from the get-go. It was just something we'd learned to do. We'd learned to do at this church, as a matter of fact. And all of a sudden, life started getting a little rough. Things started changing. We started having kids. Lots of different bills coming in, and we kind of lost touch of that tithing. And we started tithing when we could and when there was something left over. And eventually it got to where there was never anything left over, and we just cut out tithing completely because we just didn't feel like we could afford it with all of our expenses. About 2 years ago, Pastor Tommy, he gave us a challenge. A 90-day challenge to tithe for 90 days, and if we didn't see God move in our lives, that the church would give all of our money back. And I looked at Krista and I said, well, what do you think about this? And she didn't say a word. She was just silent. I'm like, okay. So we listened to the message a little longer and she leans over to me and says, get the card and fill it out. So I did, and I looked at her and I said, you know, we're not going to get this money back because we know the tithing rule that we tithe, God's going to bless us. So I said, and she's like, okay, you're right, but we're going to do it. So we did. We started tithing, and just whenever we even said and agreed in our hearts, we're going to do this thing, God started blessing us. Not even on a financial level, just in different ways. And then we started tithing. First thing, not if we had the money left over, but the first thing. Our checks would come in. We both get paid twice a month. First time of the month, we both wrote two checks. Second of the month, we wrote the checks for those. And we just started making sure that was the first thing going out of our income. And sure enough, God started blessing us. We were getting checks. I was getting little side jobs. Got a check from insurance. I had no idea was coming. All of a sudden, you know, here's $1,200. God just started blessing us in one way and another through the tithe. But then it kind of leveled off and I didn't really understand. I'm like, but this isn't what you said you would do, Lord. And it just seems to have leveled off. And then he made me realize you're not tithing on the blessings. You're just tithing on your income that you get, the paychecks. But whenever I send you a blessing, you're supposed to tithe off that too. So we started doing that, everything. Krista was a little skeptical at first, like, you're tithing off your birthday gift? Yes. It was just like God spoke to me. And it was like, now we tithe off everything. If we get $40 for whatever reason, four of it goes back to God. If we get whatever it is. I've had a job, a side job, each month for the last year, bringing in another, couple $100 a month. And it's just little bitty things. And God just continues to bless us. And we got to the point where it's like, okay, it's not just about tithe. God started speaking to us about offerings. So we wanted to give the tithe, but we also wanted to give the offering. We're like, God, well, where do you want us to give, Lord? And God started putting people in our heart. He started giving us names. Here's who I want you to give to. So we started giving the offerings as well as the tithe, and God blessed us even more. And we're just so happy that God has moved on us to give and to give all of our finances are His. Everything we have belongs to Him. So we're just giving back what He requested of us, and we're listening for His voice to know where to give, and He speaks and we obey, and we're sure to do it. We've learned from our church, Spirit Life Church, even when it was Evangelistic Temple, that God can do more with 90% than we can do with 100%. And we came to realize that even went down to even our birthday money. God can do more with 90% of our birthday money than we can do with 100% of our birthday money. So I just want to encourage you to listen to God, follow His word. He encourages us to not leave the tithing undone. We must give our tithes because it's all His anyway. So I encourage you to do that. Listen to God. Give your tithe. Give offerings. And watch and see what God can do for you.
Kind of participate in this in some way, whatever way God leads you to participate in this. There's some of you maybe who've never really really tithed and thought about that as a concept that, yeah, that works for today and that's something God would have me to do. And not saying that you haven't given in the offering, but you've never trusted God by actually doing that thing of giving Him the first 10%. And I'm asking you to take a step of faith today, even if it's just the step of saying, okay, I'm going to pray about this, and I'm just going to ask God to lead me and guide me and tell me what He wants me to do. And you're trusting God today and making a commitment as the Lord directs you to do this. And so there's many of you who already tithe, and maybe you just want to fill out the card as a statement of your continued faithfulness. I think the church did this probably, it's been several times in the past this has happened, but probably about a year ago. And so here we are again with that opportunity for those maybe who haven't done that yet, or maybe you want to even step up your level of faith and faithfulness in giving over and above the tithing. And as Harley was talking about, as God leads you and shows you. And so in just a moment, we're going to be asking you to bring those cards to the front. This is what that card looks like. It just says God's guarantee. And so we want everybody to do that. And we don't want anybody to feel like, oh, I'm being kind of singled out. If nothing else, we really do want everybody to participate. Just bring a card that's empty and say, hey, I'm bringing this, but I'm praying about what God wants me to do with this. And so just take the opportunity to do that as well. And we're going to pray over all of these cards and pray over you. And just another thing I want to share, there's a lot going on. It's a busy time right now as we're moving into Christmas time and all that's going on with that. And everybody got the little red packet of some other cards that are there. And so on the inside of that, you will see this card that has three blank spaces on it. And that is for you to go ahead and put the names of some people, because 3 weeks from today is Christmas at Spirit Life, a very special Christmas service. And a lot of you know, some of you have been there, done that, that there are people who only go to church on Easter and Christmas. You know, some people call them the Holly Lily crowd, you know, whatever. But you know people who could benefit from coming to a special event, and at that special event, turn their life over to Jesus Christ. And that really is, that's the object, isn't it? That we're reaching out and we're touching lives and we're touching people, and people are being transformed and testimonies are happening for that. So write down the names of three people, and we're going to bring those cards up to the front. Some of them are already up here from the first service. You can just place them on the platform here at any time when we come up for prayer. So we're going to pray over that and pray over you. There's also then these little kind of credit card size little cards to hand out and give to people and invite them. And who knows whether someone you invite to come and be a part of a special Christmas service, that might be the very time. I guarantee you, in that service, they will have an opportunity to give their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've seen that happen on multiple occasions over the years at some of these special holiday event times. So let God use you for His glory. We did also, this card is like a card you can mail. You can, you know, write an address on it and invite the people by sending this in the mail. If you'd like to use that as an opportunity to reach out to someone and let them know about that special service coming up. And so, anyway, so why don't we stand together? And let me just mention one other thing that the special Christmas event that's coming up, Christmas at Spirit Life, there are ways that you can be involved in that that doesn't have anything to do with money. It has to do with serving. And first of all, it's invite. But then say, you know, let people know, come and see me, come and serve with me, come and sit with me, or somehow invite them to come, and then go over the prayer cards and bring them forward for prayer. And let's just believe that God will bring a harvest out of these efforts for the kingdom of God. So if you will, just come bring your cards. If you have already some names filled out for people that you're praying for, do that. If you're still praying about what to do about the tithing as God leads you to do that, just bring a blank card. It doesn't matter. I don't want anybody to feel, you know, left out or singled out or whatever. You just do what God leads you to do, even if it's, I'm just praying. Yeah, I'm just praying about this and trusting God to do what only. So if you just stay at the front. When you come to the front, please, just stay at the front. I want to pray over you right here. So bring your cards of whichever or whatever, and we want to pray over you here in just a moment. So those things turned in. So let me just pray over you and pray over all of these outreaches that we're doing that these cards represent here. Father, we thank you and praise you for your grace upon our own lives. We thank you, Lord, for the good gifts that you've poured into our lives over and over again. And we pray, Lord, over these cards that are being brought today that are the names of some people that are going to be invited to come for a special Christmas event. And we pray, Lord, that you just really put it upon their hearts and draw them to you, and that among those will be some who've never trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so, Father, we pray that this will all be used for the glory of God. We pray, Lord, for that all of us would just be open to you and listening to you about how you would use us even in our finances for the kingdom of God, whether it's just getting started with tithing, whether it's getting just specific about, Lord, give me direction about what you would want me to do over and above what I'm doing now. God, whatever that is, God, we just pray that you would use all of that so that we're really surrendered to you and we're really believing you that you will open up the windows of heaven and pour out uncontainable blessings because of our obedience and because of relationship with you and who you are, the good, good Father who just lavishes gifts upon our lives on a daily basis. And Father, we give you the praise and the glory for all that in Jesus' name. Pastor Sean's going to come and close out the service today.
What a great opportunity that we have. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6, I have made you a light unto the nations, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. And what a blessing that we have to be a part of a church that is actively being a light in our community. And each and every one of us has a role to play in that. Whether it's through giving God the first fruits, our tithes and our offerings, or through serving. We've got a table over there with a lot of areas where we need people to serve. Whether it's through prayer, praying for all these names on these cards, right? Through the preaching of the gospel. That's why we're putting so much emphasis on praying for these lost people, inviting in the church so that they can hear the true story of Christmas. It's not about a baby in a manger, but it's about Emmanuel, God with us. That the God of this universe left his throne on a mission to seek and to save the lost. And so we get to be a part of that story. We get to join in with him on that mission. So as we go, may we be going as a people on mission. May we be people who give, people who serve, and people who pray for our lost friends and family members. So as we go, I want to remind everybody there's places to serve over there on the table. Grab a name from the tree. Leave your gift cards down here at the altar. And may you go in his grace and go in his peace as we go and bring his salvation to our community. God bless you.